The recording has started. Great. Yes. And even though nobody's showing up on MeetingView...
And he's going to get us back onto MeetingView, so if we could just perhaps start and then do the roll call a bit later.
Hello, Glenn.
Hello, Don.
Yes, there's a different MeetingView number you need to join with. That's why you're probably not seeing your participants on MeetingView.
Okay. What's it?
It's 3748905.
Thank you very much. I'll do that.
You're welcome.
And yes.
And why don't and so the recording has started. So Jim, you wanted to kind of set up the discussion for the call. So why don't we have you go ahead, and then once we get the meeting view back in, we can do a roll call.
Okay. Thank you, Julie. I know that Steve sent out the document this morning, and I had the opportunity last week, since he and I were both at the IETF, to sit down with him and have some discussion about the document. You'll see that he incorporated quite a number of changes, and as he said in his distribution, he had incorporated that based on a discussion with me. Just to be clear, I wanted to make sure that folks understood that I had given those comments to Steve as an individual, not speaking as chair or attempting to direct anything that was coming out of the working group. And so, you know, all of those comments and suggestions are still subject to review and acceptance by the working group. So I'll be very happy to answer any questions or whatever about those comments, but I otherwise will just keep my role as chair here on this call unless I need to speak to something specific. So I just wanted to get that out there right in front so there was no confusion from people. And other than that, we can continue the discussion that we had from last week. Our goal here is to establish that this outline represents, at least in bullet form, with the bit of discussion that's there, the points that we want to make, and then we need to continue to expand the text and fill this out. This is essentially intended to become our final deliverable and document for this working group. So with that, let me turn it back to you, Julie, or perhaps to Steve, and can open the floor for questions, or I don't know, Steve, if you prefer to step through the document where we left off last week.
First, this is Julie. First, perhaps we'll do a roll call for the record.
Yes, certainly, Julie. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, everyone. This is the IRD call on the 1st of August, and on the call we have Steve Metalitz, Jim Galvin, Rob Hutchinson, Avery Doria, and for staff, we have Julie Headland, Dave Piscitello, Steve Sheng, and myself, Glenn de Saint-Jury. Thank you very much, Julie, and apologies,
Glenn,
for the inconvenience. Yes.
Glenn, this is Scott Austin. I wasn't sure if I was on that list.
Hi, Scott. No, you're not on the list. Thank you. Yes, you are on the top. Thank you very much for telling me. Scott Austin is on the call as well, and we're going to try and get hold of Rafik Damek. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Steve, do you want to go ahead?
Sure, Julie. So what does the working group feel that if we just go through the document section by section from where we left off last time? Is that okay?
Steve, this is Julie. That sounds like a good plan. It worked well last week.
Yeah, this is Steve Metalitz. Just looking through this last version that was sent out a few hours ago, am I right that most of the changes that Jim just referenced are in the recommendations section? I didn't see very many changes prior to that compared to what we were looking at and discussing last week.
I think that's correct. Yeah.
All right. Just want to make sure I didn't miss something.
Yeah. So there isn't much change.
Okay.
At all. I did incorporate the comments from the working group to, for example, in section 2.2, from Bob's suggestion to remove the managed and also, you know, align the bullet points as collected, stored, and displayed. So that's one change I make. Another change would be to just to clarify things a little bit, but not much change at all. So I didn't hear any objections. Then perhaps what we can continue, we can start with section 2.3. current practices by registrars and registries and CCTLDs to support the display of internationalized data. What does the working group feel about this section? Is there something I missed? Is there something we need to add? Something needs to be taken out?
Steve, this is Bob Hutchison. And when I read this section, the second line where it says support of ASCII 7 carriage return line feed is the only obligation. I believe that many of the CCTLDs and some of the GTLDs are currently using UTF-8, and I'm guessing that that's how they're doing their internationalized support today, but this doesn't reflect that. It sort of only reiterates what's in the current Who is standard, not what reality of what is actually being used today. And I guess since we're addressing current practices, I thought that other part should be noted.
I think that's an excellent suggestion. So you're suggesting the second bullet point, that only refers to the WHOIS protocol, right? And then maybe add other practices by other, you know, registries. Is that correct? That's somewhat covered in the third bullet point, or fourth bullet point. Certain registries have developed various ad hoc TLD-specific conventions for signaling. Does that cover that point?
I would say basically that I would reword that so that it's, I would say, to support internationalized data.
Okay.
Many registries have developed. I don't know how you would word this. I'll leave it up to the group. Many registries currently support UTF-8 or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. This is Dave. A while ago, we actually surveyed CCTLD registries on what they used, and not all of them use UTF-8. Some use UTF-16, and some use ISO 8809. I think that's the ISO standard. And some support multiple character sets. So I don't want to be too picky about this, but I think that what we can say is that people use character sets other than ASCII 7 with their own signaling mechanisms, but I don't know whether we can say many or whether we can say a handful. What's many today may be very small, 2 years from now if we have many, many more TLDs. So,
this is Jim. We should be able to list some examples, though, right? I mean, we don't have to try to give any kind of quantitative indication of use, but yeah, I think it would be helpful for context in the filled-out text to list what we do know is being used, just for, exemplary purposes.
Okay, so what I'm hearing that there's a need to list a few of these other practices.
And then, Steve, can you explain what this third bullet means?
The registration data directory service commonly only supports submission and display using U.S. ASCII. Is that the bullet?
Yeah, using ASCII 7, uh-huh.
I think this is a current practice. most of the current most of the data, you know, it is in U.S. ASCII, and many of the services only support that at the moment. I mean, there are this coupled with the fourth bullet point that some registries, you know, have, you know, do support others.
Well, I guess then, you know, what is the commonly term referring to here? Are you talking about more than half of the GTLDs or CCTLDs?
Oh, okay, I see. So you want the terminology to be more precise.
I'm not understanding what the point of this bullet is, okay?
So this is Jim. Let me ask the following. To the extent that the previous bullet talks about the support of, you know, U.S. GASCI is the only obligation, it might be better if we're going to try to make a quantifiable reference to fold it into the second bullet rather than trying to call it out separately and just observe that, you know, typically that is how it's done, or maybe just drop the bullet altogether. I guess, is that the point you're making, Steve? It seems redundant in presence of the second bullet.
Okay. All right. We could remove it if this is not clear and it's redundant.
Well, I mean, I'm glad, Steve, that you're agreeing to remove it. That was Steve Metallis who was making that question. Was it right? I mean, does removing it respond to the question that you're raising, or?
This is Steve Metallis. I did not raise that question.
This is Bob
Hutchinson.
Oh, it's Bob. I'm sorry. So
yes,
Bob.
I should have identified it myself. Yes, I raised the question. I was just asking for clarification as to why it's in here and do we need it and so on.
Okay. I think, how about we remove it for the moment and... Yeah, let's just remove it. I think it's... Oh, the second and third can be combined together or in some fashion. But I did get your point, Bob. Let me strike that. Besides that, are there any other comments for this section? Okay, hearing none. Let me note myself to remove this. Okay, so section 2.4, who is protocol? Any comments?
Yes, Steve. This is Bob Hutchinson again. I had one more comment. Where it says certain registries have developed ad hoc or TLD-specific conventions for signaling.
Right.
I guess what I'm not seeing in this current practices is that you know, a clear statement that that CCTLDs that cater to internationalized clients or have heavily internationalized client bases have already worked around the current standards, okay? And it says certain registries have developed various ad hoc or TLD-specific conventions for signaling, but that's for signaling. It's not for the containment of the data and so on and so forth. I would say that, you know, registries which... whose business target countries with internationalized, I don't know how we want to say this, languages or with languages that require greater than ASCII 7 support have already figured out a way to do this. And I, you know, that's what I'm not seeing in here.
Okay. So I got your point. I can add somewhat to that point. Yeah. So I think what you want, what you're saying is to complement the third bullet point. You know, the signaling is the enabling part, but you want to add that, you know, actually some of these data is already in other encodings other than US ASCII. Is that
right?
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know whether that comes in the first bullet that basically says no standards convention or policy exists.
Right.
But absent that,
okay,
you know, people have figured out how to have figured their own way how to work around this situation.
Okay.
I mean, that's if we're trying to present what the world is today.
Okay. I got your point. So I will either add that to the first bullet point or the after the fourth bullet point. What I would do is when I actually wrote the report, if you could comment specifically on this section so that I make sure we get it right and reflect the opinion.
Not a problem.
Is that okay? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'll take a note myself of that. Section 2.4, any comments? Okay, going once, going twice. Okay, I haven't seen any comments. So let's move on. Shall we move on to Section 3, International Standards? Okay, hearing no objections. So in this section, in Jim's earlier outline, was to we're trying to decide whether to put this in the background or, you know, put it in at a separate section. And the thinking is, since some of these standards that the working group did reference later on, it would be good to put it in a section here. And as a separate section, and there are also, when the interim report put out a public comment, we got some feedback, for example, from, you know, IETF experts, you know, there are some standards for transliteration, so, you know, I also put them there. So this is standard. I separate it into three sections, IETF-based standards, UPU, that's the ITU standards, and also the there are some standards for transliteration. Do people have comments on this section?
Steve, this is Bob Hutchinson again.
Go ahead, Bob.
I guess... a list of standards is appropriate. I agree with the overall sentiment of this, but I also believe that the list of standards doesn't help much anybody who's reading this unless we actually make a comment about how that standard is relevant or not relevant to this work.
Yep. So, fair point. Yeah. What do others think?
So, this is Jim. My expectation in having included this section is that we would, in fact, speak in filling out the text to exactly the points that you're making. You know, we would indicate that there are some recognized and accepted standards for some of the data elements, and that as policies are developed in the future, it would be good to take advantage of these rather than trying to do something new. You do call that something interesting, and now that I'm thinking about it, we don't actually have a finding or a recommendation that speaks to that issue. I had expected to put some text like that in this section, but we probably should think about adding a specific finding or recommendation that speaks to this too. So let's make a note about that too, Steve.
Okay.
To add that too.
So Jim, you're suggesting adding a finding based on these standards?
Yeah, okay. So you want me to think out loud about what to do here. What I'm thinking is that we somehow have to speak to exactly the issue that he raised. We want to say that the reason why we're including these references is because they're appropriate to use for data elements, for internationalization purposes. I think as a factual matter, we can state that in a finding that these things do exist. It's an open question as to whether we also want to add a recommendation that says that this group would recommend that, wherever data elements that could take advantage of these standards are, used or created, they should use those standards for internationalizing them. I don't want to wordsmith this here. I mean, if people at least understand the concept and are acceptable with that, we'll have to work through wordsmithing exactly what we want that to say.
Okay. So are people on the call in general okay with that finding?
This is Bob Hutchinson again. I'm perfectly happy with that as an approach.
Yeah, this is Scott Austin. That sounds good to me.
Okay. Any others? Steve? Avery?
Yeah,
fine. Is that okay? So you're okay with that finding too? All right, then we can try to wordsmith into it. Okay, so any other comments before we go into findings? Going once and twice. Okay, so let's go on to section four, findings. So in this findings, I changed it slightly different from the interim report in that I organized it. So the board asked us essentially two questions. First, is it desirable to have, to represent domain name registration in non-US ASCII? And second, is it feasible to introduce display specifications? So when I'm working on this outline, I thought, it would be good if you can direct respond to the board request and separate our findings into, is it desirable, and is it feasible? Are people okay with that approach? Okay, no objections. So section 4.1, what do people think?
This is Steve Metallitz. In the,
go ahead,
next
Steve.
To the last bullet there, I think
go
the
ahead.
Last sentence is not complete. In some cases, such as law enforcement, electronic crime investigators.
Oh, sure.
So I think that needs to be fleshed out. I think that's Rod Rasmussen's comment that was referenced there. So.
Yep.
And I wasn't clear on what the last bullet meant.
So the last bullet, other interests do exist. The working group can't speak to those interests because the purpose of the data was not clearly defined. Jim, you want to speak to this?
Yes. We do call out, you know, law enforcement specifically. But, for example, I was trying not to let this group get bogged down in too many other options. So the particular thing that I had in mind with this sentence was that intellectual property interests also care about domain name registrations and the data that goes there. And there probably are other things. I mean, the two obvious things, obviously, are law enforcement and intellectual property interests. But the main point to be drawn from this finding is the fact that registration data serves purposes other than just the life cycle of a domain name. And I think that this group should, you know, speaking as chair, its focus should be just about feasibility and suitability of displaying data and getting the data in that form, and not try to speak to the issue of use cases of the data. Although, as we get into the next section, Steve, one question that came to my mind is I realize that even with the recommendations that are there, we don't explicitly state the fact that there's no specific policy for the purpose of data. Is it just to serve a domain name lifecycle, or is it to serve other needs and purposes, which I think is an interesting point. So anyway, to answer the specific question, the point here is there are use cases for this data, and I wanted to specifically scope in this document that we're only dealing with the suitability and feasibility of doing this and not addressing concerns that might be put forth based on use cases of the data.
This is Steve Metalis. Thank you for that explanation. It's hard to say to make a finding about desirability of doing something if you don't take into account, you know, how the data is used, isn't it? I mean, I thought the preceding paragraph says this. There are other uses, and we give an example there, citing to a comment that was actually made. I'm fine to say we're not trying to comprehensively, you know, address all the uses, but just to point out that for some uses, there are issues with internationalized registration data. I'm comfortable leaving it there, but I wouldn't want to say we're not taking uses into account. We're not trying to comprehensively survey all the uses. There's a long list of them in the WHO IS principles that the Governmental Advisory Committee adopted. There was a debate over a two-year period within ICANN over what is the purpose of WHO IS data. So we don't really need to reopen any of that stuff, I don't think. But I think the preceding paragraph kind of makes the point that for some uses of WHO IS data, there are issues with internationalized registration data.
So this is Jim again. So thank you for that. For your question, your comment, I mean, yeah, there's room for some clarity here. And as we develop this text further in the next iteration, you're right. That last bullet is probably an overstatement of what we're trying to accomplish. And so, maybe just a simple comment that there may be other things that we're not taking into account is sufficient, just referencing the fact that what we are saying is not intended to be comprehensive. But then, as you say, we could also reference some of the other work that we know has existed just for completeness and reference in this document so that people know that we, you know, we're at least paying attention and choosing to do what we did. So thank you.
Additional, if I can add?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure, Jim, what you meant about listing the other work. Because I actually think we want to stay away from any of the policy discussions at all. And so I think finding a neutral expression of what the uses may or may not be as a point, as opposed to pointing to anything. Because if we start pointing to things, then we may get into subjective evaluations of what was the validity of the outcome of that. If we're including the outcome of that, why aren't we including the outcome of this? And I think for this group, it's probably better if we just say something abstract about, you know, there being policy work that talks about uses and we're going to stay away from it.
So thank you, Aubrey. I actually like that, but I am interested in what other people think. Can we get a sense of the group on whether people support that?
Well, this is Scott Austin. I guess my question and my interest is as a trademark lawyer in terms of the intellectual property aspects of this. But one of the things that I wanted to get involved in this group, in fact, was pretty much this issue. And I guess the question we're supposed to be answering, is it desirable to represent domain name registration data in non-U.S. ASCII? I mean, I think that we've answered that question. At least there is a statement, thus it is desirable based on the first three paragraphs. I guess the question that it begs is, are we representing it only in non-U.S. ASCII, or should it be convertible into ASCII? And again, I'm a latecomer to this group, so I don't want to slow you down, but I guess the question is, has there been discussion that while it's okay to put it in non-U.S. ASCII, is it supposed to be convertible into U.S. ASCII, or some means so that a language that's extremely unique could not be a means to essentially be a form of encryption so that it's kept from law enforcement or a safe harbor for infringers?
So we have actually had, this is Jim speaking, some discussion about that, and you'll note that there is a recommendation in there, the second one, as I recall. I apologize, I don't have the document open in front of me anymore, which speaks to the issue of translation and transliteration and makes the observation that this issue needs to be addressed in a larger context, that that's a policy question, and that this group is not going to answer that question specifically. There is obviously the issue of burden on what it means to put things in a single language or and who bears that burden and at what point in the process it needs to be there. So I think my answer to your question is that it is a recommendation that particular issue needs to be addressed.
Because I guess my point is, if our question is as open-ended as what 4.1 says, is it desirable? Well, it sounds like it's desirable to be inclusive, but it's also not desirable to allow it to be abused as a subterfuge. If someone's language or character set is so unique or so difficult to translate that there's only a few human beings on the planet that can do that, then, you know, there's a potential for abuse. And I just want to make sure that that's been characterized someplace or maybe in that discussion. I don't see that as policy. I think it's part of the analysis of answering the question.
This is Aubrey, if I can comment.
Go ahead.
I actually think that is bringing in a policy. As soon as you start talking about doing something because somebody may or may not abuse it, you've left talking about the technical capabilities to talk about. So while we want to talk about it needing to be possible or it not needing to be possible technically to do something, I think to include the notion of people abusing and subterfuge and why someone might use a little known language because they're trying to subterfuge would be a really unfortunate thing to see added to this particular bit of work.
Well, maybe not with those terms. I'm using that in this forum just as the reason I suggested. But maybe the notion that there should be capable, it should be capable of translating into the other language, the ASCII.
So this is Jim, and speaking as chair, and the discussions that we've had before about this issue really does, separating out the notion of abuse and, you know, subterfuge and those kinds of things, the way that we have characterized this issue thus far in this document is that registrants are monolingual, and there should be the opportunity for them to be that. So where that leaves us is with the question of translation and transliteration. And we realized in our own discussions in particular that it's not possible for us to solve that question, because that issue of who has to do that and where that should occur is a much larger issue that involves more parties than we have in this discussion. Because one can talk about, should a registrant do it, should the registrar do it, should a registry do it, should law enforcement have to do it for itself, should intellectual property interests have to provide their own service to do this. There are reasons for and against each one of those positions, and this group is not the place for that decision to be made. So that becomes a policy discussion, and that's why it's a recommendation, and we put it forward to that place. Would anyone like to add anything to that?
Yeah, this is Albert, just as a suggestion. I mean, not a suggestion, but a further. For example, given that most registrants in the world, we expect, as the IDNs go forward, will be monolingual. And that's the whole point of IDNs, you know, other than the few people that may be waiting out there to abuse it because, wow, what a cool way to encode something. But most of the people that will be doing IDN registrations will be monolingual in a script that is not ASCII, and so then it immediately becomes, well, if it's incumbent on anybody, maybe it's incumbent on registrars to be doing something, and at which point, you know, we've made a policy decision that imposes upon them work and expense. And so, you know, then, as I said, then it goes to what you know, Jim is talking about. Well, it's not the registrant because they can't, and not the registrar because of expense and whatever, and that being a policy decision, then it moves to what Jim said. So I agree.